We are up to Pasuk Dalet, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. Vayemer Hashem, Hashem says, Hahetev Chorolach, ? Yoina was very angry. It was Vayera. The parak began by telling us that it was that it was Vayera El Yoina Ra'ogidoyla Vayichar Loi. The parak began by telling us that Yoina was was evil in his eyes, an extreme evil. And Vayichar Loi and Ra translated into fury, into chora. Chora is obviously anger, fury. And now, after this whole give and take, this prayer, this expression, we had a discussion, is it really called a prayer? Is it not called a prayer? By Yispalel, is what exactly is it's a very good topic of discussion, which we did a little bit of it, but the exact translation of the word by Yispalel, Parshas Pinchas, there it says Vayifalel, here it's Vayispalel, and we had a nice discussion. Many commentators presented different ideas as to what it means in this context. Is it really a prayer? Is it a demand? Is it a statement? Okay, whatever it is, now Hashem responds. Today we're up to Hashem's response. Hashem responds not just with words, Hashem responds with action. Hashem is not like man. Man is all lip service. Man is just the fiem uvisfasam kibduni v'libo rochak mimeni. Okay, but Hashem, when he responds, Hashem responds with action. So first Hashem says a few words of Musar. Hashem is short and sweet. Vayomer Hashem, hahetev choroloch. Is it good for you to get angry? What's up with you? Why are you so angry? Now notice, Hashem did not say to Yonah, hahetev, is it good for this to be viewed in your eyes as ra? Yonah expressed two ideas. Well, Yonah, at least the hakdama to his prayer, his tefillah, whatever that word means, there are two things that he has done. He has vayera el Yonah ro'o gedoyla. That's number one. Number two, vayichar loy. He got angry. Yichar is the expression of fury, heat. It was charoinaf. There was smoke, steam coming out of his nostrils. So Hashem's complaint to Yonah is only regarding the charoinaf. Vayichar loy. But it's mashma. The implication is that Hashem was not upset with this, that it was vayera el Yonah ro'o gedoyla. Isn't that a fair conclusion, a fair observation to make? I mean, that's what it says. Vayemer Hashem, hahetev choroloch. Is it really proper that you should express anger?
Why do you say that hahetev choroloch is right? Is good? Angry to you? You said ra. Well done.
Look, go back to Pasuk Aleph. What does it say in Pasuk Aleph? Vayera el Yoina ro'o gedoyla. That's one statement.
Right.
Second statement.
So
Vayichar loy.
By Hashem's first response is, I hate it. The good that I did, Karolach makes you so angry.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're saying something very deep. Okay, I now get it. I didn't chap what you're saying, but now I do, and you're good. I like what you're saying. You're suggesting is that this, the Eitz Hadas, Toiv Vara. Toiv is always the opposite of Ra. So the fact that Hashem chose to express his displeasure with his Charoin Af, with the word Ha He Tev, he's taking issue with this that Yonah said Vayera. Okay, very good. Enochanami, I didn't appreciate it because that's not what the Mefarshim says. They don't focus on that. But you're saying
it's
very
right,
good.
According to the Tamim, it's right.
Hahetev. Hahetev is esnachtas tipcha. Tipcha. Hahetev is tipcha.
Something good anyway.
Choroloch. Okay, excellent. Okay, Enochanami, Meir. Chidushe Rabbi Meir al Sefer Yonah. You have what? Shutter. Okay, I like it. because at this face value, you're saying the Tameh HaMikra, it should be a Mercha Tipcha Loch, right? Ha'hetev Chara Loch, and that would be, they go together. Mercha Tipcha Soif Pasuk, but here it's a Tipcha, a Mercha Soif Pasuk, so it's two separate expressions. Number one, something which is truly good, Chara Loch, very good, I like it very much. So therefore, in Echanami, Hashem is coming to challenge you on two accounts. Number one is, why is this ra? It's good, it's not toiv. Number two, if it's toiv, certainly there's no need for you to express charoin af. Let's see ra in the mitzudas, the mefarshim, how they look at this. Pasuk dalet, and it's not to be mefarshim, we'll go very quickly, go to the next, meaning is the kikoyo in the next pasuk. Pasuk dalet, the mitzudas David. And by the way, look first at the mitzvah siyon. Look at the mitzvah siyon. Ha heitev, even though we don't know heitev. Inyan choizek, v'chein shibru heitev to hope. What does it mean shibru? Shibru means something to break. It means hope. I don't know the pasuk. I don't look up the pasuk there. I forgot. But in any event, he's saying it means.
Or a variation of that. Shema heitev.
Listen well. So let's see. So he's not really explaining. Let's see the Mitzvot David. Ha'heitev Charolach Behei Hatimia. It is a rhetorical question. I'm not expecting an answer. Ucha Oimer. What Hashem means to say is Hinei Ar Echa B'Moifes. I will show you in the future that he's referring to the future, the Kikoyoin, which is now going to miraculously grow. And it's not proper, you should get angry. So the Mitzudos David, okay, what we have to say over here is this whole, I don't really know what it means, we have to really go forward. According to the Mitzudos David, this Pasuk Dalet is not simply referring back to Pasuk Aleph. It's referring to what's going to happen in the future, which means Hashem's going to make for Yonah Kikoyoin, and then Hashem's going to take it away from him. And then he's going to get very, very angry. Okay, so we have to remember to come back to this Pasuk and learn this Pasuk when we finish the story of the Kikoyoin. In a nutshell, Hashem's going to give Yonah Kikoyoin, and he's going to have a Simcha Gedoy like he never had. And then Hashem's going to take it away. So Yonah is going to get very sad. Okay, Yonah is going to get very sad that you took away my kikoyoin. So Hashem is telling him over here is, what are you so upset over the loss of the kikoyoin? Easy come, easy go. You didn't deserve the kikoyoin to begin with. And so therefore you should not be in mourning over the fact that it has been lost from you. And that now will be a mashal for everything that has transpired thus far, which requires a lot of explanation, which I don't know. We have to wait until we get there. But basically, all we need to know at this moment in time is this pasuk has to be put on hold. According to the parish of the Mitzudos David, this pasuk has been going to be put on hold until we finish the parak, only a few psukim, it's not a big parak, finish Sefer Yonah, and then we'll be able to come back and appreciate what exactly Hashem over here is telling Yonah with these words. This pasuk is a hakdama, is a statement which even Yonah will not fully understand until what will happen will play out. But it's not going back on the past. Period. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk dal vayim Hashem ha'itiv charulach im charulach ma'id. Radak disagrees with the mitzudos. The Radak came much before, of course. Okay, the Radak is telling us, no, we're going back on the past. Im charulach ma'id. V'loy Omar loy oid. Okay, so if you're very upset, V'loy. Okay, now on the next page, page 441. V'loy Omar. V'loy Omar loy oid. Ela rotzeloy mar does not say the word oid. No, he explains. Rotzeloy ela rotzeloy mar. Oid ar acha oy she'enay min hadin. Okay, also, same thing. I didn't pay attention. The Radak says the same thing as the Mitzudos, is that this pasuk is not to be understood. Now, it's when referring to what is about to happen. Ar acha oy she'enay min hadin. I'm going to show you a sign, a miracle. and it's not going to be proper for you. I'm going to show you a sign in the future. I'm going to do something for you, and that's going to be an oath for you that you should not be upset, not get angry regarding what you have just seen. Ve'heitiv in yonoi, choyzeko inyan. Heitiv means strengthening. K'may ve'ekois oisoi tochoin heitiv. You shall grind up. This refers to the story of the Egel. K'moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas, in Chumash Devarim, it's Parsh Ekev, I believe. He there, he went and he said, after he recounts, he reflects upon the Chet Egel, and he tells over the story in much more detail. And he says, I ground up the Egel, I pulverized it into dust. And the word Hetev there means very, very well. I did a very good job. Okay, Sibiru Hetev. Okay, that word, I'm not sure what it means there in that context. And look, either it means to break or it means to have good hope. Hope for the best. No, a shin is a shin. No, it's a sivu. The sin is to hope. I'm sorry.
Grinding.
I'm sorry. With the sin, it means to hope. With the shin, it means to break into little pieces, right? To break very well. V'yesh v'farshim im heitev shani oiselachem charolach. Im heitev, is it good in your eyes that I should get angry? Shani oiselachem charolach. Is it really good in your eyes, this, what I'm doing to them? In other words, it's not correct that the fact that I am having rachmanus should be the cause of your anger. Very, very simple. The midah of Hashem is to be good, is to be meitiv. If I'm having rachmanis, it's not proper for you to get upset about this. V'yonesam tirgim k'moy me'od ha-lachado. K'moy me'od, very much. Ha-lachado, that's his translation. Ha-lachado means very much. Is it me'od, k'moy me'od. And the word he uses is ha-lachado, which means, look in the Targum, which means very much. Let's see over here. The Targum because of Amar Hashem halachada tikeifloch. Is it proper that you should get angry very much? Halachada appears to be the translation of meod. Is it proper that you should get extremely angry? So now, according to this interpretation, takif means chora. Chora is takif. No. You want to say the other way around? No, maybe you're right. No, halachada. Me'od, maybe you're right. Kamo me'od, halachada. I don't know. I think it means to, chora means to kef. Chora here means angry. To kef means very tough. Very, means, so you want to say the word heitev means, what does it mean halachada? I think halachada means ha-heitev. Okay, I'm not sure. Let's leave it with, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll see. I don't know.
You can also say, listen, this is good to the Mitzvah also. When I will do good, Chorah will also get angry. And you don't understand that until afterwards, after
he gives him
the
okay.
You're getting angry because it's bad. Even if I do good, you'll get angry.
Well, that's exactly what happened. According to the second tradition of the Radak is explaining, Ibn Ezra says the same thing, is explaining here, is that what he means to say is, Hashem's, I'm good. I have done very good, the first interpretation, I have done very good for these people. These people are about to die. I have shown them mercy. I have reversed the Gezerah. That's good news. It's always good not to destroy, not to kill someone, not to bring korban to this world. So what are you so upset about? They did teshuva. Maybe they didn't do teshuva on your high standards, but they did a degree of teshuva by being choyzer mima'aseim haro'im, and that is enough for you to stand down. Be happy. If Hashem is good, he's native, He does kindness with humanity. Is that a reason for you to get angry? It's very simple, okay? Ha-hei-tev. Just because I've done something good, chorolach, is it proper for you to get angry? Then his last interpretation, he says, from the Targum, that why are you so angry?
What about collateral damage?
What collateral damage? Yeah. Okay, so that, good point, so that he appears to be saying is that's not your business. That harbe shluchim. I mean, I'm reading into the pasuk a lot more than it says, but harbe shluchim l'mak. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Klal Yisrael to go into galus. Harbe shluchim l'makam. You think that Ashur, Nineveh, they're the only way they're the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring about the galus of the Aseres Hashvatim? If Klal Yisrael deserves there to be a galus, there'll be a galus. If it won't come through Ashur, it'll come through another nation. So the fact that now on this particular nation they have done teshuva and I have rachmanis upon them, what are you upset about? You're upset about that now the Golus is going to proceed? The Golus would proceed no matter what.
But I won't be part of the mission.
So you're saying very good. So you're saying something deeper. Okay, Enochinami. Hashem, you will proceed to bring about the Golus of the Aseres Hashvatim. But at least I won't have guilt. I won't have to live with the guilt that I had a hand in it. Very good. I hear what you said. That's a very good point. So Hashem, according to that, you have to still say that Hashem is saying that's not an excuse. Your personal guilt is not an excuse for you to get angry to such a degree. Because the bottom line is Hashem will anyway bring about the galus. And the fact that Hashem is showing mercy and having compassion upon human beings and not destroying them is good news. You're upset about your personal guilt? You're selfish. That's a selfish expression. Hashem is being native to this world. He's doing good. If he's doing good, rejoice. It's like a person's jealous. Lo sachmait, right? Someone else has something wonderful. They have a beautiful object. Whatever, all the different examples the Torah enumerates in the Aseres HaDibros, the Sachmoid, rejoice. If someone in this world has a bracha, be happy for him. Don't covet with someone else. Don't express. It's selfish for you to look at the world only in the perspective of yourself. So far, let's review out what we have learned over here. Basically, 2/3 interpretations. So far, we have Hahetev means Hashem is doing good. And therefore, Charoloch, what are you upset about? Number 2, Hahetev Charoloch, we put the two words together. Unkelis appears to change the Tame HaMikra. He appears to put the group the two words together. Why are you so angry? Why has the anger reached an excessive degree? Now, with that interpretation, by the way, my question is reinstated, and that is, what happened to the Ra? What happened to the Vayera Elyoyna Ra'ogidoyla, Vayichar Loi, according to Unkelis, according to the Targum Yosef Ben Uziel, if we're putting the two words together, he's obviously ignoring the Tame HaMikra, and he's putting the two words together, and he's saying the word Chahetev is coming to modify the word Chora. Chora is anger, and Hetev is a modification. It means the anger is excessive. Hashem is only coming to express his displeasure with Yonah getting angry. But Hashem is not coming to express his dissatisfaction with Yonah viewing this as Ra. And that's really what I wanted to discuss in the very beginning before you slug me up. And now I've been vindicated because that uncle is Targum actually seems to be saying this. And that is, okay, this is an idea which is very controversial about to say is, L'nidnitar l'malachi hashavis, Hashem allows us to look at things in this world through a lens of Ra. We don't see the big picture. It's not expected of us. Again, what I'm saying now is controversial. Not everyone will agree with what I'm saying. And I respect that 100%. And even myself, I don't know if I'm saying it's correct. I'm just talking out loud, thinking out loud with you. The Holocaust. How do you understand the Holocaust? So what is your duty? What is the duty of a religious Jew in regarding his perspective, his attitude towards the Holocaust? Is it the obligation of a Jew, of a religious Orthodox Jew, to say the Holocaust was delicious? Delicious. This was Hashem's will. We deserved it. It was supposed to happen. Why did it happen? Don't go near there. Don't, that I'll tell you. Stay far away, a million miles away, as to why it happened. There's no one alive today that can tell you why it happened. Tzadik v'ra loy. However, we as religious Jews have to say yes, this was Hashem's will. There was a reason. And everything kol ma de Ovid Rachmana letav Ovid. Everything Hashem does is for the good. And we're not allowed to question, we're not allowed to have any complaint whatsoever. Now, really? Is that a healthy approach to the Holocaust? I don't think so. To any tragedy. And maybe I'm saying, I hope I'm not saying Apikorsis. Is that a healthy approach? Or no. Hashem allows man to look at a tragedy and to say, Ribbono shel Olam, this is evil. What you have done is the epitome of evil. Now, how could you say that? That's Apikorsis, right? Apikorsis? No. As long as that outlook does not result in choroloi, in getting angry. You hear what I'm trying to split hairs. Lo nitna Torah lemalachei hasharis. We don't have a right to be upset. We don't have a right. You look at a horrible tragedy, 6 million people are destroyed, and the collateral damage to everyone else is just not to be believed.
Have a very strong emunah in order to believe that and accept this as God's will.
Well, you have to accept that. I differ. You have to accept this as God's will, and you have to recognize that no clue what's going on, absolutely no clue. But are you obligated to say it was delicious?
You have the machlekes with Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim when they saw the fox running through the structure.
You want to be taller than that? They were laughing. It's a little different. It's a little different. That's a chorbe over here. It's a person. It's a personal tragedy. Okay, maybe. But let's focus on this. Over here, there are two elements expressed in Yonah's statement. It was ra. He saw something that, in his eyes, is the epitome of evil. Vayera. You can't ignore the pasuk. Vayera. Elyoino ro'o gidoilo. He saw people who are insincere, who just, they were told they're going to be destroyed, and they just went through the motions, lip service, they stopped doing averos for the few moments, they went through the lip service, but their hearts and minds, nothing changed. We learned that yesterday, doesn't see any indication that they had any sincerity. It just says the Maaseim. And now, the consequence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgiving them means is going to be a Churban for Klal Yisrael. And Yonah says, this is Ra. This is a Holocaust. How do you let these people live, the Nazis live and survive and succeed, and the Jews, who had Tzadikim, suffer? This doesn't make any sense. Vayera, the words, don't ignore the words. Don't make up, don't rewrite the history. Yes, 100%. I'm just giving you one example. One example. The Inquisition, the Tachvatat, the pogroms, there's no end to it what went on, okay? There's nothing to talk about. I'm just giving you one example, okay? One that it was more current, it's more modern, so we can relate to. Is a person mechuyif to say, I have a emuna pshuta, and it's like the word I said, delicious. Is that a proper hashkafa? Or no, a person is expected and is allowed to follow in the lead of Yonah and say, Vayera el Yonah ro'o gedoyla. Ribbono shel Olam, what are you doing? what are you doing? This is ra. I don't have any understanding of what you're doing. In my eyes, this is ra, even to make that statement. But here's the danger. The danger is, quit while you are ahead. Do not allow your frustration and your perspective to lead to a situation where your blood pressure rises. Where it's vayichar loy. According to the Targum is saying to Yonah, excellent. I accept, I'm pleased with this that you have expressed your frustration, vayera el Yonah ro'og gedoyla. But what I'm not satisfied, what I'm not happy with is, you should not have let that frustration go to the next level, vayichar loy. Because when you're vayichar lo, you're already, your emotions are affected, where you're angry, where there's fury, that means you're going to take action, you're going to do things, you're going to abandon your religious observance, you're going to, who knows what you're going to do, who knows what can come once a person gets angry, allows himself to express his frustration. Okay, so there are two levels. Now this is, you can only say this idea, only according to the Targum Yoinasan, that wants to say is that these two words that are called the word heitev, even though Rav Meir pointed out the word heitev is a very nice opposite regarding relative to ra, but it's only coming to modify the word vayichar loy. Hashem is not commenting on vayera. And I think what I'm saying, I think pretty much what I've observed from people that I grew up with, is that's the approach people that I know have, the religious people, is you look at something like the Holocaust, and when you talk about the Holocaust, you can outright say vayera, you outright can say vayera el yoyna ro'og gedoyla. It's not fair. This is not fair. It doesn't make one bit of sense, and we're angry. I mean, we are very disturbed. And we will say it, and we acknowledge it, but we try very, very hard to stop right there, and to say, listen, tzaddik viraloi is one of the principles in this world, and we have an obligation as religious Jews to accept for you. Huh? That's for you. Why not? So we have an obligation. You know, gave it to you. You know who gave that to you? Rav Meir. Rav Meir Appeldorf gave that to you.
Yoni Street.
Okay, but he wanted to...
How do I know that?
A peace offering.
I know.
Mincha Chadosha. Mincha Chadosha LaHashem. Okay, so this is a controversial idea. Now, obviously, not everyone says this. Look, the one whoever put in the Tamei HaMikra, Tamei HaMikra Nach is not so pashut. In the Tamei HaMikra Chamisha, we always discuss Chamisha Chumshe Torah is ironclad, Messiah. The Tamei HaMikra in Nevi'im and Ksuvim is a little weak, a little schwach. Not. Be careful, you can't say that. But it's not as ironclad as the Tamei HaMikra and Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and obviously the Tamei HaMikra is in and of itself a parish hamilos, obviously, it's a very big parish, but you see over here already in the Radaka and the Mitzvot stuff over here, they're struggling, what exactly this pasuk means. If you want to go learn like the first, if you want to leave for later, if you want to go take this pasuk, because why are you getting upset? And what you're getting upset about is what's about to happen. What's about to happen is the miraculous creation of the Kikoyoin. And its disappearance, its removal. So then we're not even discussing Yonah's anger. That's something we won't invite him. We're discussing later on. But if you want to say, like the Radak says in this parish number two, number three, parish number one is like the Mitzudas. We're referring to what's about to happen. So it's not relevant. But in parish number two and three, we're going back to Yonah. What happened? Yonah was Vayera. And the question over here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu coming to challenge him in regard to the word Ra in his first parish, the answer is yes. Yonah, what are you upset about? What are you upset about? Hashem has Rachmanus upon evil people. Mr. Rapport made a very good point. But the consequences is what to be upset about. The fact that evil people exist in this world is a cause of pain for Klal Yisrael. That's a very valid point. And then you have to go and really dig deep. I mean, it's that, very good. You want to have rachmanis on this guy, but that's not at my expense. Okay, you're not allowed to have predators walk the streets. Criminal is a criminal. Okay? People who are attempt murder, you don't have rachmanis on these people. Okay? These people got to go. There's a time when you're not allowed to have rachmanis. So you're asking a very tough question. I don't know the answer. If you want to go say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to Yonah, what are you upset about? It's not Ra. This is Toiv. What are you upset about? Mr. Rapport, what do you mean? Yeah, it's good for them. It's good for them, but it's not good for us. It's, what?
By the way, Talushkin wrote a biography of Lubavitcher.
Yes.
And one of the dialogues he talks about is the Holocaust. And he brings down from Rabbi Shach, he gave a reason for the Holocaust.
I told you in the very beginning, we're not going there. I told you, we're not going there.
We're not going there.
I told you.
We're not going there.
I told you. I don't want to get sidetracked. I said very clearly. We're not talking about reasons. Okay, that is off the topic. No reasons. You cannot go tell me why the Holocaust. No such thing for us. Anyone today who's alive today. I mean, you want people who live through it, and they want to go say why it happened. Maybe they have a right to talk. Someone who actually suffered, who was in Auschwitz and suffered and lost their family and experienced it and lived the life and saw things in his youth before the Holocaust, they want to talk about it, good for them. They can say whatever they want to say. But someone today has no right, in my opinion, has no right to tell you why it happened. Okay, that's off limits. We're talking about tragedy. Tragedy, no one knows why tragedy happened. Question is, how do you deal with it? How does a person, not talking about people don't think. There are many people today who walk the streets, they don't think, period. Okay? Then they don't think altogether. You always know, what are they going to think? Guess what? They don't think, period. Stop. What are they going to think of me? What are they going to think? If I do this, what are they going to think of me? Right? That has a connotation that they're thinking. Right? They're thinking, so what are they going to think of me? Guess what? You don't have to worry who cares what they think of me. They don't think. Period. Yeah. There's no activity in the brain. We're not going. We're discussing a person who taka thinks and you look at tragedy and it's very disturbing. How are you expected to react? Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why. But there must have been a reason. Hashem has his reasoning, and therefore it has to be good. Kol ma de'ovad rachmana litav of it. Or you can say, you know something? That's a very nice Maamar Chazal, but it's not relevant in this situation.
I'd like to say that Nineveh, you know, this day HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis on them, and now it shows bad on the...
Klal Yisrael.
That was Nineveh's fault. They had nothing to do with it. They were not enemies of the Jews. That is a Jewish problem.
That was Hashem's instrument. Yeah, but that's very easy for us to say. It's very easy for us to say, but when you're living in that time and they are directly involved in exile, it was the middle of the exile.
But that wasn't because of Nineveh. I mean, it wasn't where they were Rishonim, they were fighting with the end or something. No, I mean, the fact that they did it on their level the right thing, so it's good. It's good for them. This, that it had a bad,
it sounds good in theory, but if you would be living through the experience, let's say, Marshall, you're working for an employer, and the employer treats you like garbage.
Right. And he treats another person very well.
And now the employer is in trouble. The employer is in trouble. And if the employer gets, he's on trial, okay? If the employer gets away with it, if the board allow, whatever, the employer stays in position, it automatically means you're gonna suffer because I have to work for this wicked person. And if the board fires him, then, breath of fresh air. So it has such a direct consequence for me. It's not something which is theoretical. They live over there, I live over here, and there's a goal. It is so directly connected. Their survival and my suffering, in your mind, there's no difference. If they're going to survive, that means I'm going to suffer. It's all totally zeb and zeb. Oh, but you're going to think, I told you, oh, but how many shluchim l'mokim? If it's meant for us to suffer, so if not for him, the next boss will be even worse. Or this will happen, that will happen. That's all fine and true, but that's not what's in front of you. What's in front of you now at this moment is the pain that comes directly from this person. So Yon is very disturbed. Okay, let's go further. Let's see over here. Let's see the Malbim. Just a short Malbim. I want to go to the Kikoyim.
One comment.
Yes.
These two psukim are parallel. It's Vayera.
Yes. And Heitiv.
And against this, you have Heitiv. Ra'agdola, Heitiv. From his point of view, it's Ra'agdola.
Correct.
From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's point of view, it's
Tov. That's true.
The effect was.
Well, that's the question. That's what you just said is correct in the Radak's second interpretation, but not in the third interpretation. In the Radak's second interpretation, there are two statements. Number one is ha heitev, hey idea, kama. Which means this is not ra, this is tov.
Not only is it very good, heitev is
very good. Ra versus tov. Fine. Exactly. It's not ra gedoyla. It's the opposite of ra gedoyla. It's tov me'od. Fine. It's very good. Very good. And then this that you Yonah said v'choroloi, you were angry v'choroloi, choroloch. That's true according to the Radak's second interpretation. The Radak's third interpretation is the word ha-he-tev is not coming to parallel ra. The word he-he-tev is just coming to modify the words choroloch. So Hashem is only coming to challenge Yonah. Yonah, why are you angry? I understand why you view this to be ra. I accept. You're a human being. You're not kiloi machshevoi seichem. I fully accept this, that it's ra me'oid in your eyes. I accept it. I accept you have the right to say to me, Ribbono shel Olam, what you have done is the essence of ra. Hashem says, you're right. I accept that. You're a boss of Adam. You don't understand. My only complaint to you, Yoina, is why are you choroloch? You're a Jew. You have to have emunah. You have to know there's something called tzaddik v'raloi. You can say to me, it's ra. This maime chazal of kol ma'ad of rachman l'tav avid is not relevant here. This is not relevant. Kol ma'ad of rachman l'tav is only in a situation when there's room to work. In other words, there are times in life when something happens and you can deal with it. You have the ability to say, you know, I can give Hashem the benefit of the doubt. It might work out for the benefit. Maybe not, maybe yeah. So in those situations, you mechuyev to say, kol ma'ad av rachmana l'tav avid. But there are situations in life when you can't say that. The Holocaust, you can't say. You can't say, kol ma'ad rachman l'tav avid. You can't say it. Don't tell me you can say l'tav avid when it comes to the Holocaust. 6 million people, l'tav avid? There's a way you can convince yourself that it's l'tav avid? Maybe you can, I don't know. I mean, this is the point of it.
We're human beings, we want transparency. We want to know.
It's not even possible for there to be transparency because Hashem's ways... There are things that happen which are beyond us, and it's not possible in this world to make any sense out of it.
Would like
we would love it, of course, but it's not even possible. It's not possible certain things. So then what are you supposed to do? When you have such a situation where it's impossible for a person to say, Kol ma'ad avrachman l'tav avid, there's no way you can say it. So what are you supposed to do? So there are people, I have no doubt about it, they'll say, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're still supposed to work on yourself to such a degree where you can say that the Yisurim, what has happened, is delicious. That's, in my opinion, for Mamish Yechidei Skula, Yechidim Shebi Yechidim. The average person that I know doesn't think like that. The average person...
Delicious?
What?
Would you say delicious?
Delicious. Delicious. You're supposed to live a life of simcha, of avada. You're supposed to serve Hashem. V'ahavta eis Hashem elokecha b'chol levavicha uvichol nafshcha v'chol miyodecha. You say this twice a day. Pshutoi kimashmoi. Anything that happens in this world, you're supposed to say delicious no matter what. Now, I have no doubt in my mind, if you open up many musas from, you're going to find that to be such an approach. How? And but yet, I don't think the average person can deal with this. The people that I know, my parents and my grandparents, I don't think they live like that. They live with the approach, this is evil. Oh, it says in Chazal, Kol Ma'adav Rachman L'Tav Avid, that has an application. That's only in a situation where there's a possibility in your mind to give Hashem the benefit of the doubt. Okay? You missed out on something good in life. You had a good job opportunity, right? So, wow, you know, I could have had this really great job. Okay? Really great job. And I missed out. Rabbi Kiva said himself. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zu Torah Zu Schara. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say, Kol Ma'ad Rechon L'Tav Avid? Every person has a breaking point. Okay, every person has a breaking point. In the CIA, they have doctors. When an undercover agent is captured, and he has secrets, state secrets, there's a psychology. How long can we expect the person to hold on to that secret information before he cracks open, before they break his head open? How do they break his head open? There are many techniques. They can torture, or not even torture. They can be good to him, but just time, over time, eventually things change. There's a lot of psychology. Every person has the breaking point. There are certain things you can't go, and a person's not going to be able to say, Kol Ma'ad Rachman L'Tav Avid. So now, question. What are you expected to do? Where is your emunah? Where is your emunah? It's a very big challenge. People that I know, that I grew up with, their approach pretty much is, you know something? This is evil. It really, really is evil. And there's no way around it. And the only thing I can do is surrender. I surrender before Hashem. I surrender. Hashem, tzaddik v'ra loy. V'ra loy means it's ra. You don't say tzaddik, oh, kol ma'adav rachmanu l'tav avid. V'ra loy means I accept to be ra. But here is where the hard work begins. It's okay, you said it. You said it. I got it. But you know something? I still have emunah. I will still go forward in life and just look the other way. I will accept that ki loy machshavoysai machshavoyseichem v'loy darichichem derochoy. I will still be faithful to Hashem and be a Torah true religious Orthodox Jew and continue to daven, to pray to Hashem, and continue to have emunah and live a Torah. Right. So in other words, what are you doing?
You don't understand.
Exactly. So what are you doing? But here's the point. See, people will disagree. They'll say emunah means it's not ra. There's no such thing as ra. You're not allowed to say that it's ra. Everything is tov. Or even if you can't understand it, you have to smile and say it's delicious. I'm saying people that I know, they didn't say it's delicious. They says this tastes like poison. And it's not delicious. And it's so painful, I can't even talk about it. I can't even look there. I don't even want to know about it. I want to completely ignore it. But yet, I still want to be a religious Jew and have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what, in essence, have these people done? They basically put a brick wall between the words of Yonah, Vayera El Yonah Ro'o Gidoyla. They've now constructed a brick wall to the next words, Vayichar Loi. It's Ro'o Gidoyla, but you know something? I'm not going to get angry. It's not going to affect me. I acknowledge. And according to the Targum Yonah and Uziel, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Yonah. Yonah, you have a right. It's legitimate for you to say, Vayera El Yonah Ro'o Gidoyla. I accept that. You can have tightness on me from today until tomorrow for the rest of your life. I accept that. You're entitled. You're entitled. But you're not entitled. You're not entitled. Vayichar Loi. That I'm going to hold you accountable for. That you're not allowed to be angry. You're not allowed to be angry at me. You have to accept it. It could be ra, but you cannot be vayichar lo. You're obligated to look the other way, to come to terms with it, to accept it, and go be a religious Jew, and don't let it affect you to the degree where it's vayichar lo. That appears to be what the Targum Yonah ben Uziel is saying, and according to that, you have to basically, like you said, basically change the Tameh HaMikra. And when it says in the Pasuk, HaHeitev Choroloi, the word Heitev is not referring to Vayera. The word Heitev is referring only to Choroloi. Why are you so angry, Yonah? Yonah, don't get so angry. Accept it. Accept it. Just go weiter. Don't get so angry. But there are Yechidei Skula, Mamish, one in a billion, that can say that the Lerm Shah in the Pasuk, that Hashem is saying to Yonah, Yonah, it's not Ra. It's not Ra. Kol ma de'ovid rachmana litav ovid. It's good. And come to terms with that it is good. And say that it's delicious. Those are for Yechidei Skula. And then you're going to, Tami HaMikra is going to be like you said, you're going to say, HaHeitev is coming to knock out Vayera, and Choroloi is coming to knock out Vayicharloi. Okay, these are fundamental yesoidos in Emunah. How do you deal with difficult situations in life? This principle of Kol Ma Derechon Tavavid for most of us only applies in a situation where it's possible in your mind to give Hashem the benefit of the doubt. For example, you're working your head off to get a promotion. You're working for years. I want to make partner in a firm. I'm working. And then someone comes along and manipulates things. They snatch it away from me. And I'm so hurt. It pains me so much. But you know, in the back of my mind, I know there are many people that were in my situation, and guess what? It worked out a lot better for them. They were passed over partner in this company, and they go on, they get a job, they become a partner in another company because of all their experience, and they're making a lot more money, and they have a lot better conditions, working conditions, and the people they end up working with are much more pleasant, and they have a much better life. So I know in the back of my mind, it may not necessarily have been such a terrible thing for me to be passed over for partner. So that is a situation where a person has the ability to maybe I can be done with kafschus. I can be done, Hashem. I can be angry at Hashem. Why did you allow this to happen? Or I can say, you know, maybe Hashem, you have a better plan for me. So there, Chazal, You see there's a possibility. In your mind, you acknowledge that there's a possibility that this may be a blessing in disguise for you not to have gotten this job. Maybe a certain shidduch you were chalishing for. It didn't work out. You know from life experience, just because you think it's such a good shidduch, you know, it's not necessarily, Hashem has, it's not so good for you. I have that sense. Oh, very good. So now you trigger a duty, you have an obligation as a religious Jew to say, Kol ma de'ovid rachmono letav ovid to be done Hashem lekavschus. But in a situation where it's humanly impossible to say that, like a Holocaust, you're going to say Kol ma de'ovid rachmono letav ovid in the Holocaust? You can't. I don't know. Maybe you know, but I can't say that. So then, it's a different ball game. That's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different story. Kol Ma'adei Rachmana L'Tavo of it has rules, application. It's not a blanket. This is a blanket thing. I've told you once. This very. It's all written up. I'm not making up this up. When the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Riatz, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he came to America, he met with the Satmar Rav of Yale Teitelbaum. They met and they had a discussion about the Holocaust in public. They were talking. People were listening in public to their conversation, and. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, his words are shocking. Go read it. I'm probably online. You can find it. He basically said that we didn't deserve this. He said to the Satmar Rav, the Riatz said to the Satmar Rav that he has tainus on Hashem. We did not deserve the Holocaust. It's not fair. We didn't deserve it. Hashem gave us a patch that we didn't deserve. And the Satmar Rav said to him, I disagree with you. We deserved it. A, B, and C, whatever the reasons are, we deserve what we got. A fundamental disagreement. You have to understand, they came from two different worlds. Okay, Lubavitch came from Russia. Russia, they were persecuted. They were persecuted for at least 150 years in Russia. Severely persecuted. More. They were severely severe. They lived a whole life of harsh, harsh persecutions in their blood. And the Satmar Rav came from Hungary. They didn't suffer. They had pretty good lives. The same time when the Russians were torturing the Jews in Russia, the Hungarian Jews were living a pretty good life. They came from a very different world, and that obviously affected their whole attitude towards life. You cannot appreciate the Rabashkin story. This is the big mistake that I made. I totally missed the boat with the Rabashkin story. I still have my issues of who am I, who cares what I have to say, but Rabashkin is Lubavitch. He's not just Lubavitch. His blood is Lubavitch. And this whole, and the Lubavitch, they thrived on his whole story because they were reliving what happened in Russia for 200 years. It was like mamish out of the script. And people who are Hungarians, they don't get it. They don't get the whole story. The whole thing to them from A to Z is like, okay, yeah, I understand. You got to send this, azoy and azoy. But what is this all about anyway? What's going on over here? They don't understand. They don't get it. I don't get it because I mean, I'm not really. I don't know, whatever it is. But Lubavitch, who they live their history of 200 years of persecution by the government. This was just right out of the textbook, straight a textbook case.
In Russia, there wasn't a time that Jews weren't persecuted.
We're not. Right. It's a whole different type of story. You're living in America. America's not Russia anymore. I mean, what's going on over here? No, this is their. It's in their blood, and that's why this is. It's a very funny type of story, but a person is a product of where they come from, and obviously that has a whole different hashkafa. And you see over here in the Radak two different, very different approaches. Three mahalchim in this pasuk, and this is an extremely important yisoides of life, dealing with Yonah's complaint, Hashem's response. How do you learn the response? It gives three different answers. One is forget about it. It's for the next, going weiter. Wait until you get to the next psukim. Then first you'll understand what Hashem is saying. It's foreshadowing for what's about to happen with the kikoyon. And the second and third answer is basically a fundamental difference. If Hashem is coming to take Yonah to task as to why it's vayera el Yonah ro'ah gedola. Is there any sin in Yonah viewing this event that has happened to Nineveh, what Hashem is treating Nineveh as a raw gedoyla? Let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim on Pasik Dalid. Pasik Dalid. Ma zeh sha'omar ha'heitev charolach shehi she'ela she'ein lo havona klol. V'yoyna lo heishev al davar zeh. So first he's giving a hakdama to this pasuk, the Malbim, and he's saying that this simple translation doesn't make any sense. Hashem is coming to ask Yonah a question. Now we already learned that it's not a question that needs an answer. It's a rhetorical question. And that, so by the way, that's something very interesting, because does Hashem ask rhetorical questions? This whole principle of asking a rhetorical question, a question.
He does.
Yeah. That's also the discussion. We've invented that concept, but is there really such a principle of a rhetorical question by the Ribbono Shel Olam? There are many perushim in that pasuk. Hayipolim Yashem Dover LaMoira Shulaka Israel L'Sara Bein. That's the pasuk of Mashiach. Okay, that pasuk is the pasuk that really defines coming of Mashiach. This idea of a rhetorical question is a man-made invention. Okay, it's a form of expression. There's a big debate in the Gemara as to Dibra Torah Kilishoin Bnei Adam. Does the Torah speak the same way human beings speak? Okay, a double expression. Ki Hargeini no Horu. That was Moshe said that. I don't remember any. There are many examples though. There's a double expression, a double form of la'ala. And you have a machlokes in the Gemara. Why is there repetition? So the Gemara at times makes derashos. There are superfluous words, and each word is available to teach you a new halacha. And then you'll have a bar pelukta, another opinion that says no such thing. Don't make drashos. You have no right. Dibra toira kilashoin b'nei adam. Man has the habit of repeating himself to bring out emphasis or to review if a person that you're talking to does not react to your words. You say it again, maybe now he'll pay better attention or it will resonate more. Does Hashem do that? Debate. Let's say you take the tzad that Hashem does not speak kilashoin b'nei adam, and every single word is there for a reason, for a drasha. Can you then say that the Ribbono Shel Olam asks rhetorical questions? Is there really such a thing? That's a man-made invention. It's a man-made manner of speech, a rhetorical question. So you're right. Hayipole me Hashem Dovar. Lamoed Hashuv Elecho Eschayo L'Sara Bein. We our brain, I mean, I don't know, it's not a nice word, but we're so used to being taught that it's a rhetorical question. But that's not the only perish of that pasuk. Other mahalachim in that pasuk, here as well. Here, it's a rhetorical question, according to the Radak. Ha-hei-tev, however you learn, ha-hei-tev, charoloch, the he-ha-she-ela, it's a question, but it's a question that I'm not expecting an answer. I'm coming to give you musur. So, does Hashem speak in such a manner? Good question. So here, the Radak, the Malbim, he starts off with the premise that no. The premise is Hashem does not speak in terms of rhetorical questions. When Hashem asks a question, it demands an answer. I want to know the answer. I'm not just coming to give you Musar. If I was coming to give you Musar, I would say exactly what I want to say to you. Different manner. So, ma ze sh'oma ha-hitev charulach, she's she'ela. She'ela havana klo. What's the question? I don't understand the question. Is it good that you should be angry? So he seems to say, it sure is. It sure is good to be angry. Right? He starts off with the premise, Yonah has a lot to be angry about. He certainly does have what to be angry about. What's the question? And also, we don't find anywhere that Yonah gave an answer. So you'll write, yeah, well, of course not. It's a rhetorical question. Well, the Malbim seems to say there's no such thing by the Ribbono Shel Olam as a rhetorical question. K'moy she'amar, v'lo hishav al zeh davar. K'moy achrei zeh she'amar, Heitev chorali ad moves. Adarabba, later on in Pasuk Tes, he says, Nochamo, there's no one more stubborn than Yonah. Yonah doesn't let up from beginning to the end of the sefer. The stubbornness is just not to be believed. That's why we learn Yom Kippur. The akshonos. Ki am kishe oref ota al mi nemar? Yonah! We're a stubborn nation. You want to see what it means? Stubbornness? Study Yonah. Stubbornness. And later on, he repeats it. So therefore, now he goes into his parish to try to soften the questions. Vayyom Hashem, ha-hei-tev, charuloch, amaloi lama charuloch, l'cha, b'nei she-yachshavu oischa k'nevi-sheker. Now he's learning Lishitasa. He's really like Rashi. The Malbim now is drawing from Rashi. Rashi said, why was Yonah angry in the previous pasuk? Rashi, we had this discussion. It appears to be selfish reasons. Yonah is concerned at face value. It's a sin to say it. Obviously, it doesn't mean this, but at face value, legacy. My legacy on my Navi card. You know, that all the children are going to be playing in yeshiva instead of baseball cards. They have Navi cards. And there's going to be the Navi card, Yonah. And on the back, there are stats. How many prophecies did he give over? How many of them came true? And how many of them did not come true? What are my stats? Was I batting 500?
How many errors?
How many errors? You know, you have a whole, the kids, you know, the children, cheder, you know, they're going to trade one for the other. I want my car to be on the top.
I'll give you two malachis for a Yonah.
So he's concerned. I will be a Navi Sheker. So Hashem says to him, that's not going to damage your stats just because the Nevuah did not come true. Everyone knows that when a Navi gives over doom and gloom and doom, it doesn't mean anything. It means it doesn't have to come true. If the people do teshuva, then the prophecy is canceled. Only if a Navi says something good will come, and it does not come, does that damage your reputation. But when you predict something bad and it doesn't happen, it doesn't count. It doesn't go down in the cart. So what are you worried about? What are you upset about? Okay, so according to Rashi, the only time you have to worry about your reputation is if you give over a prophecy to something good. You'll be upset if it does not come true. Turn to the next page. The designation, the prediction of something good, it must happen whether you like it or not. Even if the people are evil, when you predict evil, if you do tshuva, it's bottle. The gezera is bottle. The Navi is not called a liar. He's not considered to be a liar. It does not come true. Like Yirmiyah Lachanani ben Azur, Yirmiyah Chavches, the story was that Yirmiyah told him, predicted, he actually explained this whole thing, this whole sequence, this whole halacha and psukim, that if a Navi tells something bad and does not come true, it's okay, Adrabah, we don't want the bad to come true. So according to the Malbim, we have a novel, a fourth interpretation of this pasuk. Ha-hei-tev means, If something happens good, charuloch, is there a reason for you to get angry? If the nevuah turns out for good, you're concerned that you are going to be called a Navi Sheker. You don't have to worry because you predicted evil. But if what is good, but if your prediction is overturned, ha-hei-tev, if the results are good, charuloch, is that a reason for you to get angry because you'll be suspected of being a Navi Sheker? That's ridiculous. Every child knows that a Navi of gloom and doom is not counted in your statistics, in your reputation of being a Navi Sheker or not. So that's how the Malbim learns. Nothing to do with anything we learned before, all the other three Perushim. No one's going to ever have a kindness on a weatherman if he predicts it's going to rain and it's a beautiful day.
Right.
They're never going to complain. They're only going to complain if he predicts beautiful weather and you go to a picnic and you don't have an umbrella and there's a thunderstorm. Then you'll curse him out. Okay, it's all your fault. But if it turns out to be a beautiful day, not only tiny is the weatherman, he'll have a job tomorrow. So, even though when they had all these stories...
Conditions change.
Okay, so this is... tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to go further. Tomorrow, what we do today, tomorrow we're going to go into the Ki Koyoyin.